Good morning. Welcome to House Plans. J.D. Nelson here from County Bank Mortgage. Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker. We do appreciate you listening in today to House Plans. Hey, Keith, how are you doing?
Good morning, J.D.
Everything going all right?
It is. It is playoff time and football starts soon.
Very soon, yes. So this records on Saturday morning and or plays on Saturday morning. The first game, I think, is next week.
Yeah, next week.
Yeah, week zero.
Are you do you guys have something on the schedule that week or no?
Yeah. Carolina, you talking about? No. We don't play till September 3rd, I think it is.
And then you open up with
Georgia State.
Wren High School?
Yeah, let's pull the Georgia schedule out real quick.
No, actually, Georgia starts with a whimper too.
It's always good to start the season off with.
But I think the second week is a competitive game.
Yeah. Well, will they be competitive this year? They didn't have many competitive games last year.
I think they're saying they're coming out around number four.
Preseason number three. But preseason polls, Keith, they don't mean anything.
They go away quick.
They do. It's the same teams every year. They just put the same teams up there every year. And, you know, a lot of them end up, you know, up in that range, but they don't, a lot of them do not live up to the expectations. So, kind of like 2022.
The fall weather is here.
You know, it's been a great week.
Early summer.
Temperature-wise.
Early fall.
I think God was watching out for me because I've been complaining about the heat.
I like the global warming.
I do too, but I don't like 95 degrees and 100% humidity. That I don't like.
It was tough in June.
Golly, it was sweltering. Well, anyway, you know, when the humidity breaks, you know, listen, you can live with 85 or 90 with no humidity. That's not bad.
This is a beautiful time of the year in this part of the country.
Usually August is sweltering.
It is. Falls here a little early. I usually count Labor Day weekend as kind of
don't say that yet, Keith. We still got some hot days coming.
I don't think so. The global warming has moved fall back a little.
So, you're not making any sense, Keith.
So fall, instead of it being, you know, Labor Day weekend was kind of always the weekend where the weather
cools. So now
it's going to be August instead of September.
I want to remind you of this in about 2 weeks when it's 96 degrees outside and sweltering. Keith likes to, you kind of push seasons, Keith. You do that with spring too.
Yeah.
March
1st. They're important to me.
I know they are. Well, yeah. March 1st, I kind of like that,
I'm a routine guy. I put things on the calendar and they start that time of the year and my lifestyle changes based on all that.
So I had a great uncle of mine was the world's greatest possessor of useless knowledge. He was one of those guys who had a photographic memory and knew everything. And he reminds you of that. Great.
I remind you of him.
No. I was gonna throw myself under the bus, Keith. I'll give you a story what my dad always told me about the month of March. So I think it was 1959. It snowed on every Wednesday in Greenville, South Carolina in the month of March. Yes. So every time you tell me March 1st, I think about that story he told me. Now, that was 63 years ago, and it hadn't happened since. But never say never, Keith, right? So anyway, man, we got a lot to talk about today in regards to real estate. We do have the final numbers that were posted from the MLSs that we follow around the state, and we'll talk a little bit about those. Have some statewide numbers as well. Interest rate update, of course, at the bottom of the hour. We do have some information on that. We have some email questions to get to. Just a lot of things going on for sure. A lot of contracts falling out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a lot of things going on, right?
Big picture stuff. Really.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's hard to predict what's going on.
No, it is.
Usually we've done pretty well at predicting what the trends would be.
Yeah.
But there's a good bit of uncertainty in the marketplace at large.
Yeah.
The real estate business, the stock market, the economy in general.
Yeah.
There's some big wild cards out there.
Well, I'll be in downtown Greer tomorrow. We have the board of directors has a meeting and then they have a lunch and they invited Rich, Brandon and me to lunch. I'm afraid we're going to have to answer some questions.
They didn't put you on the agenda
How can you make this amount of money in 20, this amount of money in 21, and now this year you're not doing anything?
The pressure begins. I told you it wouldn't be long.
They can't apply any more pressure than I put on myself, so I'm not, you know, I'm not worried about that. So
retail numbers were out this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They were kind of flat.
Okay.
Which is what wasn't a bad report.
No,
really.
That's actually, you know, I'll take it. Yeah.
But a little bit of that is the increase in prices. You know, everything.
Everything costs more.
Everything costs more.
Yeah.
Except gas. Gas was down a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Let's give Biden a pat on the back. Congratulations. All right. Well, listen, we're going to head into our first break of the show. If you would like to shoot us an email, it is open at askjd@countybankmortgage.com. That's askjd@countybankmortgage.com. You're listening to House Plans. We'll be back right after this, and we'll be talking real estate here on House Plans. Welcome back. You're listening to House Plans. J.D. Nelson here from County Bank Mortgage. Keith Clark also here from the Buyer's Broker. We're talking real estate today. Of course, the email question or the email line is open for questions. That is askjd@countybankmortgage.com, askjd@countybankmortgage.com. And, of course, you can always reach us during the week at County Bank at 331-HOME. That's 331-4663. And we would love to talk to you about refinancing, getting pre-qualified, and anything to do with mortgage lending or real estate. And Keith, I know we want to dive into the numbers, of course. And we kind of had a preliminary idea. I think we kind of touched on it last week on the show a little bit, but thought we would just dive in a little bit to a little bit more detail today. And we always start in Greenville, South Carolina, the Greenville MLS. Down 11% year over year, and now underwater for the year in regards to number of solds.
Yeah, big change from the beginning of the year, JD. These are July numbers. They come in on August the 10th, and we have a third party that pulls these numbers. But it was down 11.1% for the month. JD, I can't remember a time when the number of solds, the number of transactions, dipped 10% year over year.
Yeah, that's
a lot. I think
lot.
You'd have to go back to 2008.
Yeah, that's what I think too. That's when the whole mortgage market meltdown and financial markets were crashing and all that. Of course, we're down about 0.6% on the year. 10,002 in 21. We're at 99.46 in 2022. And, you know, but median sales price continues to rise, now $300,000 year to date.
Yeah, that's a big discussion, JD, because what that tells you is that even though the number of transactions has went down significantly, there's still excess demand and people competing for houses.
Yep.
That's pushing prices up year over year.
Yep.
And really, that's the big question.
Yeah, where's the end? When will that retreat a little bit? Yeah, that's exactly right. And of course, percentage of list price received still over 100%. Last month, 100.7%. So
yeah, I found that interesting. In fact, I think that's up year over year, and I think month over month that's up a little bit, Jay.
Yeah,
not much. But of course, when you move over to inventory, there's the dramatic change. But it still hasn't been enough to bring prices
needle.
Down. So we're up, 70% year over year.
70%.
95 over 21.10.
Yeah.
And that increases the month supply of inventory from 1.4 to 2.7.
Yeah.
So almost double.
Yeah. Substantial increase in inventory. Of course, not to equilibrium as we've talked about for buyers and sellers. Seller's still in control. That's correct. So some interesting numbers there. And you look at days on market, still very low, you know, under 30 for both the year and for the month.
And down.
Yeah, that's right. So as you said, demand is
still
higher than supply. And even though we're selling less homes, we're not out of the woods yet, in that regard.
That demand destruction hasn't been large enough to really bring the market back towards equilibrium, although it's moving in that direction.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Keith, let's move over to let's go to the Charleston numbers. That is one of the larger markets here in South Carolina. And, of course, more of a drastic change, down 21% in Charleston year over year in July. 1685 solds over 2136. So, and down over 10% for the year.
Yeah, for year to date, 11.3% down. And we like to watch Charleston. We watch the markets around the upstate, and we always keep our eye on Charleston because historically we've just found that Charleston leads the upstate by 3 or 4 months in terms of trends.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And so if that trend continues, we'll continue to see our market soften a little bit.
Yeah. Of course, I will tell you this, Keith, you know, median sales price now almost $400,000 in Charleston, and both year up in median sales price month over month in July and year to date as well.
Yeah, and that's a big number because in the upstate in Greenville, it's approximately $300,000.
Yeah.
And in Charleston, $400,000.
33% higher.
But still, the median price in Greenville, that's as high as it's ever been.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. Yeah, I'm astonished still.
And you always view it in terms of size of the mortgage, and you guys are at record numbers in terms of size of the mortgage.
Yeah, our average loan size is now over $300,000 in both Knoxville, where we have a loan production office, and in Greenville. Our Greenwood office, their loan amounts are actually larger than they ever have been, over $200,000. So, we're seeing it on loan size for sure. And, I don't think that's any surprise whatsoever. Of course, in Charleston, inventory now up to 1.5 months. That's a good sign for them because they really need more inventory down there in Charleston.
Oh, they're desperate for it.
Yep. So, a lot of things happening there, kind of some interesting numbers in the Charleston market. Let's jump over to Spartanburg, Keith. And, Spartanburg down 4.1% year over year, just under down 1% for the year. Kind of see a lot of the same numbers, inventory up, median sales price up, kind of more of the same in Spartanburg that we're seeing both in Greenville
and
Charleston. It is.
And the median sales price, JD, being up year over year about 15%. Now, that has got to slow a little bit.
Sure.
We've been saying that since the beginning of the year, that this 15% increase in prices is unsustainable.
Yeah.
So we're getting towards the third quarter, and we still haven't seen any change in year-over-year pricing.
Yeah, and I think that, I'll tell you what, let's go, and then we'll do a summary at the very end. I'll give you my opinion of what I think is going to happen. Let's go to the Western Upstate, the Anderson market. Again, down 11.1% year-over-year, down almost 3%. On the year, median sales price up 265, 15% year over year. Inventory up 93% to almost 3 months inventory in the Anderson market. Inventory up, so it's just more of the same.
And that's a doubling of year over year in terms of inventory.
Yeah, that's a big jump.
Yeah, and that really moves the needle, JD, because you're talking about 3 months of inventory. And that's about 50% of what we need to reach equilibrium.
Yeah, right. So closed sales, let's go to Greenwood, just under 191. That's down 27%. Just remember, being a smaller market, you'll see your percentages really swing a lot more. They're still up a little bit year over year at 3%. But, same thing. Their median sales price is up 225 year to date. And, of course, inventory up to 2.1 months. Kind of a microcosm of what we've seen.
Yeah, not a huge change in inventory in Greenwood, but a reduction in the number of closed transactions.
Yeah, that's right. So looking at South Carolina as a whole, 1 year change in months of supply, 46.2% up year over year. So that's a lot. Now 1 year change in closed sales down 17%.
Yeah.
That's a pretty significant number.
It is. And the outlying markets reflect that a little bit sooner than the metropolitan markets. So
yeah,
we would consider Charleston, Columbia, and Greenville as the large population centers in South Carolina or larger markets. But we've got a lot of small markets where this interest rate increase is really going to hurt a little bit more than it has in the areas that have a higher median income.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Keith. Well, it's kind of interesting. And when you look at, the numbers in July and as we head into August, I think we're going to continue to see a slowdown in the number of transactions. I think at some point between now and December, we're going to max out in regards to median sales price. I just don't think that you can continue to see the price go up. Now, that's going to be the interesting factor is when you start looking at all the different markets that we look at and you start looking at median sales price, Where will they go? And I think, you know, you've touched on this. I think it was last week you talked about this. You know, in Greenville, we really don't expect to see a large drop in median sales price just because of the nature of our market, how many people are moving to the upstate. You can probably say the same thing for Charleston. You can probably say the same thing for maybe some of the larger markets. But I think in some of the smaller markets, I think you'll start to see a decline.
I agree with that, JD. But I'm surprised that our number of transactions has went down as quickly as it did over the last 2 months.
Yeah, I feel like, and this is I have no statistical data to back this up, but I feel like we slowed down from a mortgage perspective in regards to, you know, the number of applications that we're taking and the sort of the feverish pitch, you know, and that sort of thing. I really feel like that it's slowed down. Even from July to August. So I'll be very interested to see the number of transactions for sure, you know, as we kind of move forward.
And we're talking about uncertainty, really. There's a lot of uncertainty about what the economy's going to do. And, of course, the real estate industry has a big impact on a lot of industries, JD. So when a home sells, there's a lot of material goods that are purchased, appliances, window treatments, floor coverings. When somebody buys a house, they purchase everything from trash bags to refrigerators.
Yeah, you're exactly right. You know, that's
including a lawnmower. Every first-time home buyer has to go out and buy the lawnmower.
Well, that's very true.
And the weed eater.
And the edger. And I mean, the blowers and everything, really. You know, a lot of things go into it. You're exactly right. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, interest rates. You know, I'll touch on those at the bottom of the hour and give you some specific numbers. But they stayed, you know, fairly flat here since the major rise that we had towards the beginning of the year. So we'll see what happens. You know, that'll be a contributor as well, you know, as we head into the second
half. And
those
numbers, we'll talk about them in the next segment, but they look more and more attractive to me every week when I look at them in terms of getting used to
it. You start getting used to it. Yeah. You know, listen, the water's not as,
bad.
It's not so bad. Yeah, that's exactly right. So anyway, well, listen, you're listening to House Plans. This is JD Nelson from County Bank Mortgage. Of course, you can always email us at any time. We'll answer that email and also answer the question on the air. That email address is askjd@countybankmortgage.com. That's ASKJD at countybankmortgage.com. And of course, during the week, you can always reach one of our mortgage professionals at County Bank Mortgage at 331 Home. That's 331-4663. So definitely a good time to reach out and get pre-qualified. And you know, Keith, honestly, we still have a lot of, we did some pipeline analysis this week on, you know, what we had cooking and what's coming down the pipe. We still got a lot of people out there looking, you know, looking for the right house, you know, that kind of thing. You know, we talked about the house that went on the market right next door to me, and they've had some activity, but it has not been feverish that I've seen.
Yet.
Not, you know what I mean? So kind of interesting when you see in some of the higher price points that, you know, it's.
I looked at it over the weekend. I sent you a text that said, not yet.
Not yet.
Hadn't sold yet. What will be interesting is if we see a price reduction after the first 30 days.
I'm waiting on
it. If it doesn't sell.
I'm waiting on it. Yeah, that's what I'll be curious to see if they drop it down.
And we're going to talk about the investment property. You made a site visit, met with the contractor and myself. And
yeah, good guy,
put a little
too.
Pressure on us.
Yeah.
And we're feeling it.
Yeah. No, I'm not. Listen, Keith, I'm 53 years old. I'm nothing.
It's what Mary, you know, Mary says. I put more pressure on myself than anybody
else.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah,
that's part of the Clark household.
That's part of the deal. I mean, you know, that's right. So anyway, well, listen, we're going to head into our first break here. We've got about 50 seconds left in this segment. Again, you're listening to House Plans. JD Nelson from County Bank Mortgage. That email is askjd@countybankmortgage.com. And we're excited, Keith. 2 weeks till football. I can't tell you how excited I am. Drew is, he can't get over himself.
And he's a junior,
he's
right,
He's a junior
JD?
This year, at Riverside.
And he's going to play baseball again this year?
Another year of ball. He'll do fall ball.
And has he decided where he wants to go to school yet?
He has narrowed it down substantially.
Have y'all made site visits?
No, yet? But that's, you know, I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah.
Probably about time. Don't you do that during junior year? Kind of? Yeah. So it's maybe second
because,
semester.
Yeah, I think you need to apply by fall of next year.
Yeah.
Or maybe even into summer months.
Well, listen, we're going to head into our bottom of the hour break. We'll be back on House Plans after this. Welcome back. You're listening to House Plans. JD Nelson from County Bank Mortgage talking real estate today. Also have Keith Clark from the Buyer's Broker. We appreciate all our listeners and you listening in this week as we talk about the real estate and mortgage market here in the upstate and around South Carolina and nationally. And we'll give the interest rate update that we always hit at the bottom of the hour. Keith, I'll give you some numbers here. 30-year fixed. And these are, just so I can preface this, these are, you know, we usually just put in an excellent credit score and try to do a loan amount around $250,000, 80% loan to value. Of course, sometimes these rates can vary based on credit score, loan to value, and some other factors. These are purchase rates as well, and with no points or origination fees. So 5.375, Keith, on a 30-year fixed. So not a bad rate whatsoever.
Doesn't look so bad anymore.
No, not bad. 20-year fixed at 5.125. So about a quarter less, and that's pretty normal. I think last week we saw the 30 and the 20 kind of matched up with each other. The 20 has, kind of slid down a little bit there. 15-year fix right around 4.75. And then I thought I would give us an FHA, a kind of a VA FHA rate, 30-year fixed at 5.125. So the government rate's a little lower.
Yeah, that's very interesting to me. It's always just a tad lower than the conventional rates.
Yeah, it is. So, you know, all
now,
in all,
JD, do you still have to have permanent PMI?
You do on the FHA, unless you're under 90%. So if you're under 90%, it's only 11 years.
Okay.
Yeah. So something to think about there. And, you know, we talked about this in our loan officer meeting as well. You know, a lot of people hear that permanent PMI and they really get, I don't want FHA.
Oh, it makes me cringe.
It does. You know, it's permanent. I'm never going to get rid of it, whatever. Yeah. And sometimes you just have to look at it from a logical perspective. And what I mean by that is if you have a credit score that's under 700, when you're talking to a mortgage professional, you really should be looking at both FHA and conventional options, because the conventional option, while I just quoted a rate of 5.375, that's for excellent credit at 80%. Sometimes if you have a less than stellar credit, that rate is going to rise as your credit score kind of goes down. And, many times you may be getting a rate at 5.875 or something along those lines.
And, of course, we always talk about how long you're going to be in the loan.
That's right.
Because statistically, it's only about 5 to 7 years, although that number has risen a little bit over the last couple of years.
It has. It probably will continue to rise a little bit as we move forward. A lot depends on the real estate market that you're in and that sort of thing. But if you're talking about a difference in rate of 0.75%, many times the monthly PMI that you would pay on a conventional loan in some instances will be higher than what you would pay on FHA. And so even if that FHA PMI is permanent, you really have to look at the difference in your payment, because chances are you're going to refinance for one reason or another within 7 or 8 years. Either rates are going to drop or something.
If you don't talk to the right person, JD, you can rocket yourself right into the ditch.
You can. That's exactly right, Keith. You have to watch out for that rocket, because it will definitely shoot you into the wrong direction. That's exactly right. So some interesting numbers there as far as interest rates go. And, you know, Keith, we do have a couple email questions that I wanted to get to. Why don't we address, one of those right now? Now, I'm going to put you on the spot. This is a good real estate question here that says, you know, I have a seller that wants to close early from the contract date and then rent back from me for a couple weeks before their next closing. Is this okay? And what are the advantages and disadvantages of doing this?
Yeah,
good question. And a lot of times, what this person's referring to is they have a contract to purchase a home, and let's just say that they're supposed to close on September the 30th, and it sounds like the seller of the property wants to close a little early, but then they want to rent back the same home from them for a couple weeks, or I've seen as long as a month, until basically they will move out at that time. And then, you know, they can close on usually their next home or something along those lines. From a seller perspective, I think they just want to get the deal closed and get that cash in their hands. Typically, what
that's right. And sometimes you have expenses, moving expenses, that you need that equity out of your home to help you
Manage
that as you move into your new home. And of course, when you're not under a timeline, typically a closing, you know, sometimes you have a back-to-back closing. You close on your existing home today.
In the morning, and then afternoon, you're closing on the new.
That's right. Now, typically, during the last 12 months, as a seller, you could negotiate that into your transaction as a concession. And buyers were much more likely to agree to that.
Right.
But as the market begins to shift, you're seeing a change in how buyers approach these things, because what you have to think about it as a buyer, JD, they are occupying your home, and we usually have an interim occupancy agreement.
Yep.
And if you do the interim occupancy agreement the correct way, so let's say the seller damages the property when the movers are moving out, they bang a wall up, put a big hole in the wall. And many times that happens, JD.
Yeah.
The floor coverings are not in the same condition as they were.
Sure.
And the seller has a duty to maintain that property in the same condition that it was when it went under contract, normal wear and tear accepted.
Sure.
So if you haven't already negotiated
And you say normal fair wear and tear, the definition of that may be different
on a
buyer and seller perspective.
That's right. But if you get the right security deposit and the interim occupancy agreement is written the right way, you know, you can probably work it out. But if the contract is already written, I'm not sure I would go along with that. I certainly would not advise a client to do
that. Yeah, from a buyer
perspective. There have to be some unusual circumstances for it to take place.
And Keith, most of the time, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, how do they rent back? And let's just say, let's make it an even month, you know, that kind of thing.
Per day, usually.
Usually
JD.
It's a per day deal. That's what I was going to say, $30 a day or $40 a day or whatever. Yeah. Of course, with rising rents, sometimes that pushes that daily, you know, fee up.
That's right. And,
you know,
typically, you can either calculate that based on market rents. You can look at what's renting in the area and divide it by 30 and do a per day diem. But then you also have utilities and insurance to think about. You want to make sure that you dot the I's and cross the T's. And the standard interim occupancy agreement that the Board of Realtors use covers all those things.
Okay.
So that you do it properly. And then if the seller were to default, let's say the seller defaults, maybe the movers didn't get it packed quick enough.
Right.
So they want one more day, and your truck, by the way, is delivering today.
Yeah. You know, that's one of the things I think is the hardest thing to navigate, moving out and moving in and closing, especially if you're doing back-to-back, what I call back-to-back morning and afternoon closings, you know, and that sort of thing. That's probably the toughest thing to navigate is the moving trucks and all, because
it's very stressful.
Because you have to put that, you have to set that up in advance. And the moving companies, listen, when you tell them we're moving on Wednesday the 3rd or whatever the day is, they're planning. They got people lined up. You know, they're trying to get it all done in advance as well, so it can make it tough.
And JD, 9 out of 10 times the seller is behind at that stage of the process.
Absolutely.
So whether it's 2, 3, 4 hours, 5 hours, you typically set up a final walkthrough for the buyer, because the last thing you do before closing is make sure that the property is being conveyed in the condition that it was supposed to be conveyed.
Yeah.
Nothing's missing. You know,
no ice makers.
Over the years, we've talked about
chandeliers.
My personal experiences where we would do a final walkthrough.
We've had plenty of those stories on the air. They're fun to talk about. They're not fun to go live through, but looking back on it, I think Jimmy Buffett said one time, you know, it wasn't very funny when it happened, but it was funny now. So anyway, well, listen, we're going to head into our final break of the show. We appreciate our listeners out there. You're listening to House Plans. JD Nelson from County Bank Mortgage and Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker. When we come back, we're going to wrap up the conversation. We have a couple email questions as well. And you can always email us at askjd@countybankmortgage.com. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back. You're listening to House Plans, final segment of the show. We do appreciate everybody listening in and hope you're enjoying this quote unquote fall weather, as Keith calls it. We are glad that you are listening in for sure.
Football weather.
It is football weather, which makes me happy. So I'm not going to talk about it this segment, but I have a great lead in for next week's show. Keith, I found a great article, and I didn't send it to you because I found it late yesterday. I got 5 tips to prepare your home for the fall, which is always good. People, you know, as you head into spring or head into the fall, you know, it's always good to have some tips.
Preventive maintenance.
Things that you need to be thinking about as the weather changes.
Everybody knows that you need to service your HVAC. That's the first one on the list.
It's on the list, Keith. Don't give it all away, okay? Don't give it all away. So some definite tips, and we may have a few of our own that we can add to that list for sure. So now, Keith, you sent me an article, Construction Costs Keep Climbing. Of course, with inflation the way it is, you know, home prices obviously continuing to rise, which a lot of that has to do with new construction on homes and how much it costs to build. But you've been talking about this for a while.
Yeah, materials and labor, JD. Labor is scarce, and I've got a new construction production home under build, and they paused the process because the HVAC equipment was not. So when the mechanicals go in, the HVAC, the plumbing and the electrical are all installed. That's right prior to pre-drywall.
Yep.
Once they install the mechanicals, then they'll put the insulation in the house and start sheetrocking it for the finishing phase of the process. And the builder let us know they postponed one of our meetings for our pre-drywall meeting, pushed it back several times. Because materials are not available.
Well, I'm working with Eastwood on a loan right now that we're doing for one of their clients. And, you know, I emailed the sales agent yesterday, and we're cleared to close and ready to go. The only thing that we lack is just getting that final inspection from the appraiser.
CO.
Yeah, in the certificate of occupancy. And, you know, I just said, hey, can you confirm for me, you know, that we're still looking at the end of September? And you know, she thought that was probably going to happen, but was very noncommittal on the email, which I totally understand. This is not a knock on them at all. It you know, because
industry wide,
it is, because they don't know. A lot of times we're scheduled to receive X on Y date, and you know, sometimes that just doesn't happen.
And JD, they're putting the materials order in for everything at the beginning of the process. And I think I told you one of the builders changed their process to a bidding process recently. Of course, their timing could not have been worse.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, that was
so. I don't know if they changed it back, but
we're going to take that back.
Yeah,
we reevaluated our stance. Yeah, that's
we'll accept a good one when it comes in.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. And of course, you know, the thing that's gotten me about 2022 in regards to real estate is, you know, most of the time, you know, when they made a decision like that, you know, they were fine for 6 or 8 months or even a year. It's how fast everything is happening. The rise in interest rates, the rise in prices, the rise in inventory, the number of transactions down. It's happening just like snap your fingers. It's overnight.
You just would not have been able to imagine what 2022 would be if we talked about it. And we did in January.
No, we missed it. We missed it. Yeah, we missed it for sure. So the only question now is how far are we going to be down year over year?
Yeah.
And, of course, this will be the first year that has happened in quite some time. So now I know you sent another article, Keith, that you had reading earlier in the week. It was talking about, will housing prices flatten or collapse? And I don't know that, you know, this was more from a national perspective. We personally feel, Keith and JD from the House Plans radio show, feel like the Greenville market is not going to see a decline very much at all in regards to housing prices.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't think that there'll be a significant change. It'll flatten. We've talked about that all year, that we know this number's not sustainable. But in terms of a retreat in pricing, it wouldn't surprise me, JD, in the large markets and even some of the very high demand markets in California and New York, it wouldn't surprise me if we did see prices go down significantly. But in the medium-sized markets and the ones that come to my mind, you know, typically Austin, Texas.
Yep.
Very hot market right now and continues to be. And Greenville, South Carolina shows up in all the media conversation about quality of life. So I played golf yesterday with a single. I was a single.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy that I was playing with, he really was I asked him where he was from. He said Chicago, and apologetically, it was interesting that, you know.
Yeah, that's kind of funny right
because
there.
I said to him, I said, these big cities, they do not know how many of their residents are leaving.
No,
high-quality residents.
No, you're exactly
who
right.
Who pay a lot of taxes, who purchase a lot of goods, law-abiding citizens, they're fleeing these big cities.
Yeah, well, who
and
wants
of course
to be
they're
there?
Coming to Greenville, South Carolina.
Yeah, they are for sure. They, you spoke of California. This article specifically, look no further than California for an example of how fast the momentum can shift from appreciation to depreciation. As recently as March, the San Francisco Bay Area home values were still surging, and now declines in San Francisco and San Jose are among the steepest in the country as inventory quickly returned to pre-pandemic levels.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's why you see a lot of the big swings, you know, especially California. You probably see it in some of the desert states. You know, I think you'll see it in some other areas as well. You mentioned Austin, Texas, Seattle, places like that, you know, that a lot of times will have a big surge, but then they'll have just as fast of a decline.
And JD, we talked about the Bay Area several months ago about the number of homes that went from below a million to above a million. So at one time they had 25% of the homes above a million, and now more than 50%. So what if you paid $150,000 above asking in March, and the market turned in May or June?
That reminds me of when back in the pre-mortgage market meltdown days, when we used to do those 125% second mortgages.
Yeah,
didn't do many of those, but there were a few out there. You had to have great credit and that kind of thing. And of course, a lot of people had run up a lot of credit card debt back in the 90s, mid to late 90s and early 2000s. And so what they would do is they would, you know, home values were surging at the time. And so the thought was a lot of these lenders were doing what they called 125s, and they would loan 125% of the value of your home on a second mortgage. And their thought was is that home values were going to continue to rise quickly. And then so, and not only that, you're paying the both mortgages down. And so they would get back to 100% or less, you know, fairly quickly. Well, you know, then 2007 happened, and all of a sudden those 125s turned into 175s because the values went down. And most of those people just left the keys in the door and they were gone.
Yeah, that's what I was getting ready to say, JD. And we know historically in that circumstance, they'll leave the keys.
Yeah, yeah. Well, nobody wants to dig out
now,
that
had
far.
Had they hung in there, they would have made money in the long term.
They
when
would
look,
have. That's
look
exactly
back,
right.
It would have been a home run.
Well, most people don't think long term, Keith. You know as well as I do how that goes. But you know, which is a great point. You know, there's one of the things. You know, we talked about this at our loan officer meeting this week. I think cash out refinances will start to come back in vogue, especially next year. I saw a statistic that Americans are using more credit cards now than they have in some time. Obviously, a lot of that is driven by high gas prices, by high grocery bills, by high everything. Everything costs more money. And so, you know, people will just use their cards, and that creates, if rates stay in there, that creates opportunities for, you know, what we call cash out consolidation, debt consolidation loans, because everyone has more equity in their home now than they've had basically in their entire life with the increase in home values over the last few years.
I saw an article this week, JD, that said the average family is paying $750 more a month for their living expenses.
Yeah, yeah. So quite substantial.
Yeah, and typically your mortgage is fixed. We're not talking about the mortgage.
No, we're talking about everything
food,
else. Yeah.
Shelter, food, clothing.
Trash bags, like you said, everything. You know. Yeah, I was kind of astonished. You know, I don't really pay much attention to prices too much. You know, I'm kind of the guy that goes to Publix and, you know, we buy what we need and kind of keep moving, you know. But I will say this, I did notice the grocery bill. I had to go just pick up a few items. And, you know, it was $105. And I didn't even get anything. You know,
Two plastic, two of those small plastic.
I could expect it if I buy a couple bottles of wine or something, but, you know, I didn't even do that. I mean, it was just, you know, yeah, it was some grocery bags, it was some dog treats or whatever, you know, maybe you had some sandwich bread for Drew's lunches or something, but, you know, and you walk out of there, it's $105, and I said, you know, goodness gracious, yeah, where did this come from?
JD was talking about filling up his... that big SUV that requires premium gas.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, 89 works too. I can tell you that. Yeah. My wife, she loves to get that 93 or whatever it is. You know, it's required for her car. I put that in quotes. I said, put that 89 in there and see how that works.
Runs.
I guarantee you it'll run just fine. That's exactly right. So, anyway, well, listen, we're going to, that's almost a show. We got about a minute and a half left. Keith, what you got on tap for the rest of August and into September? Any exciting news at the Clark's house?
Well, yeah, we're going to the beach again September. So
you just got back.
You're going to need a guest in September. So maybe you call Roger.
We're going to get Roger. You know, I needed to follow up with Roger. I told him it's about time to get him on again.
September the 8th.
September the 8th. All right, I'm going to put it on the calendar, Keith. I told him, and for those that don't know, now might be a good time to share it. Keith's going to be on with us still, you know, for the rest of this year. And then entering next year,
that's
we're going
right.
to have some changes. Keith will still be on, but probably just once a month as
part-time.
We kind of move in. Yep. And Roger Nix, who was on a couple weeks ago, I think it was, is committed to maybe come on with us once a month. So we'll have some a little bit
and
different
flavor.
And some
other guests, too. Some bank guests.
Yeah,
some other...
we got a lot of things that are going to be happening. Yeah. So we're excited to share that news for sure. And, of course, JD will still be dragging it in here 1 week at a time.
And I think, you know, I was... on the way in this morning, I was thinking, when did the show start, JD?
2002.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
So, and I think I started coming on a little bit later than that, maybe 03 or.
We realized we needed your help, Keith, no doubt about it. So.
Well, it's been a good run. I've enjoyed it.
It has, for sure.
It's taken up a lot of my Saturdays.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, listen, we appreciate you listening. This has been House Plans. JD Nelson from County Bank Mortgage, Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker. We'll be back next week.